Glory to God. Well, change to the published programme. Praise God. The Lord put on my heart something that is always applicable. Hallelujah. Before we get back to what we were looking at. So, praise God. Psalm 130. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. There's a deep, deep work that He's doing with us, preparing us. Praise God for what He's doing. See, this word should be giving us a vision. It should be preparing us in a deeper walk with God. Preparing us because He's coming soon. Praise God. Psalm 130. Now, without looking inward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, yea, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Friends, God is working with us. Now I know the blood of Jesus, faith in his blood. Our sins are forgiven, our sins are cast away as far from the east as the west, and which means there is nothing further than that. You can't get any further away, the east from the west. So if you travel east, you're continually travelling east. You will never get to the west if you keep travelling east. So they're completely, totally, forever cast away. But, praise God, that's a legal thing. You and I know only too well that in our experience, God is cleaning our lives up. He's getting to the very depth. Now, some of us cry out. There is a process that God works. Some of us cry out from our heads. Some of us cry out because we know we should be holy. We know we should be doing things that we're not. Or we know we shouldn't be doing things that we are. So we know in terms of our will. We know what God says. We know for those things. But that isn't yet the depth. God is getting to our motives, the very heart of our being, our affections, our attitudes. Why are we crying out to God? Because we want to be blessed? Because we don't want to suffer anymore? Because we're fed up with the chastening? Why are we crying out to God? God is so working. Like with the children of Israel, it wasn't until the cry of their heart, the anguish that they truly wanted to be set free from Egypt, God allowed those taskmasters to increase their burden till from anguish of spirit they cried out for deliverance. Friends, let's be honest. Is it true of us that we don't yet want to be free of some sins? Some things that we commit, some things that we're doing. I'm not talking about works, going out witnessing and all of that. That has its place. God will lead in that. In our walk, in our relationship before God, do we really want to be free? Not want to be free so that we can be blessed, not want to be free so that God no longer chastens us, but out of our love for Jesus, out of our love for him, because of what he did at Calvary, because of how we are with him, we love him, because of our relationship, because of our concern for the glory of his name, from the depths of our heart, do we want to be free? The second thing, and these are all familiar principles, we've been looking at them over the last few weeks, but I want to bring this together in the final teachings on this, because this is all about appropriating the promises, all about, well, appropriating the promises, because it's God's will. God has revealed his will through those promises. But the other thing, along with that, with the depths of our heart wanting to be free, is the profoundest realization the absolute conviction from experience that we cannot in our own strength set ourselves free. We can do absolutely nothing about our sin. So what has God got to do? He's got to do two things. First of all, he's got to work in us to want that. He has to work in us to want that, which he does. We'll look at that in a minute. And secondly, he has to show us his strength. He has to reveal to us that it's his strength, his grace, his power alone, but that we can trust that. Now, if we don't believe with all our hearts that God loves us, we will not dare approach him for that power, for that strength. Because the guilt, the sin, the consciousness of sin, the guilt will prevent us. There'll be condemnation. We won't really believe that he wants to set us free. We'll believe he wants to punish us. We'll believe that he wants to destroy us. We'll believe he hates us. But we won't actually believe he wants to set us free. That he loves us, he cares about us, and that he's going to use us mightily, that we're important to him, we have a place in his heart that nobody else has. We have got to be totally convinced of the Father's love for us. Because if we were, that would work. That would work, that deliverance, that desire for change. Some of us are in situations and we say the right things, but do we really want it? Now, okay, so we've got a cry from out of the depths. And so God is working that depth. How does he do it in Psalm 38? He tells us how he does this. It's very easy to be negative when looking at sin and when looking at what God does in the heart. But always remember that we stand legally, we stand on redemption ground. Condemnation is a work of the enemy. God does not condemn us, but there's a work that he has to do. Psalm 38 says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath. So we're acknowledging the fact that God's wrath could be working in our lives. Psalm 38, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Your arrows pierce me deeply, your hand presses me down. Have you ever felt that conviction that wherever you go there's like something keeping you back, something holding you down, pressing you? And we blame the devil, we rebuke the devil, and we try to praise and we do all of this, but we have not yet acknowledged that God is at work making us sick of our sin. Just like the children of Israel hated Egypt. And here's the remarkable thing. They hated Egypt, and yet a few days in the wilderness, they wanted to go back there. They forgot how bad it was. Does that sound familiar? We've been delivered, we're wandering now, a trial, a wilderness. Ah, if only I could just go back and just indulge the flesh and how good it was in former days, forgetting how oppressed, how awful it was. God has delivered us out of the house of bondage, out of Egypt, and yet here we are, the flesh crying out its lusts for fulfillment. But God is at work. Now in verses 3 to 5, and again, don't think that, oh well, here we go, so everyone is sick, everyone who is sick, everyone who gets sick, it's because of sin. That's not what we're saying. But if we continue in sin, if we don't deal with the things that God is revealing, one of the things we experience is a loss of strength, a loss of energy, weakness, sickness. We let the hedge down to physical problems. And we need to be seeking God. You know, if this is a continual thing, Lord, what are you saying? It says in verse 3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. My iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds, foul and festering, because of my foolishness. So he's acknowledging that there is a problem here because of his sin, because of his iniquities, because of his foolishness. This is not just poetry and a figure of speech. This is a real experience. This is a revelation of God's chastening hand to bring about forgiveness, healing, redemption, deliverance. And so this is a deep work. It says, I'm troubled, I'm bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. Why? We should be praising all the day long. Why are we oppressed? Why are we in mourning? Now I know Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But that isn't like the Christian walk in the sense of we ourselves mourn. What he's talking about there is that we mourn because of sin. We mourn because of the presence of sin in the church. And we mourn because of all that we see going around us in the world. But that's not an oppressed mourning. That is more of an intercession. That's more of a cry from the heart. That shouldn't be our experience. But here's the balance. Although the Christian life should be a life characterized by joy and by praise, we need to face this one. For those who are walking close with God, there is a seriousness, there is a gravity, there is a type of mourning, because we are in a body of flesh, we're in a world full of sin. We're told in Corinthians that Satan is the god of this world. There's something within us crying out to be released, to be taken from this world. We're never going to be completely happy in this world, because we don't belong here. We're pilgrims passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. There's something wrong, there's something missing. We're not quite complete. There's a longing. God is allowing that as a longing for heaven. Think about it, if we were completely happy now, we all want our joy, don't we? We all want, you know, that peace. But if God allowed us to be completely happy and at peace now, we'd forget to pray, we'd forget about overcoming, we'd get nice and comfortable, feet under the table. Oh, well, I've missed a meeting, whatever, you know, but praise God, things are good. God knows us only too well. So there's that longing within us, and that's fine, praise God. Don't let the devil condemn you for that. There is that mourning because of sin and because of the knowledge, well, in my own strength I can't overcome it. We need to be acknowledging that this is something that's a real problem. Hindrances are occurring, and then we need to be taking on that burden that, Lord, there's still sin in the body of Christ. And don't look to brother and sister. Lord, the hindrance in the body of Christ, there's such a hindrance because of so and so. No. Lord, I'm the problem. I'm hindering because of this. I'm concerned about this. I'm a hindrance to the body of Christ because of my sin. That's the attitude, that mourning, that mournful attitude. And the promise is, we shall be comforted. A true repentance, a true brokenness before God will always... How you know it's true and not like a religious condemnation is because there will always be God's own comfort at the end of it. Comfort in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It always works. God will always minister that way of escape, that grace, that peace, that comfort at the end of it. Praise God. So yeah, we go mourning all the day long, but don't forget to praise him in that. The very fact that we're mourning, that's a good sign. God is taking over. Remember, we're the house, aren't we? We're a house of God. And the Lord's taken residence, and he doesn't like what he sees in it, so he's got to clean it up from the loft to the basement. And there's dust and muck and bin bags full of stuff that are being thrown out, and it's not an easy job. It's not pleasant, you know. I don't know if you watch on, if you've seen that thing, The House Doctor or whatever, and why isn't my house selling, and these people, and she goes in, that's got to go, that's got to, and they're going, oh no, no, that's my treasured possession, that's, oh no, that's my, they're not saying it, but that's my idol, you know. And she's, I love her really, because she's ruthless. She says, no, in the, there's a big skip out in the garden, no, in the skip. And that's what God is doing. all those things that we loved, that we wanted to hold on to, that are so precious to us, those are the very things often that God is removing from our hearts. He's getting us to cry out from our hearts to be delivered. Now, we can't just say words. This is not lip service. You can't just say it because you've maybe heard it or read it. The Spirit has to work this in our heart. It's got to be real. To call on the name of the Lord Jesus. You can hear an item, a news item, something, you know, yet another teenager been stabbed and all, and you go, "Come, Lord Jesus." But something deep from within. Yes, things are terrible out in the world. They are. And in the Middle East and all the rest of it. But there has got to come such a selfless cry by the Spirit from the heart to move Jesus. Now, he's preparing and he's working and he is moved with compassion, but he's going to work that. He's going to work it in the nation of Israel. The religious leaders are going to call upon him, bring Messiah back because of the blood of the Jews that's been spilled. And so it is with the overcomers. Only he's going to catch us away up to him. But to get that deliverance that we so long for, to get him, not to get him to move, that's wrong, but before he knows, before he can answer, there's a purity of faith. The faith, the motives for that faith, God is working, God is purifying. We've got to be selfless in our seeking God. And he says, "For my loins are full of inflammation, there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart." So there's your emotions. You're tired. You're not on top of things as you used to be. You're mentally, emotionally disturbed. Broken. I just don't want to know anymore. I've had enough. This is how you know God has dealt with your sin, because like, I've ground to a halt. I just cannot take another step. God has to bring us to an end of ourselves, to the point where I do not know where to turn. I'm at my wit's end. I can't think of another idea how to try and save myself in general or in this situation. That's it. It's over to you now. I can't take another step. You've got to be the author of my next step. That's it. I'm finished. I've had enough. Not in a negative way, but in that sense, you cannot do it in your own strength. And then he goes, "Lord, all my desire is before you." And here is the key to it all. He knows it all. You cannot hide from God. We're naked and open, as it says in Hebrews 4, before God. The word is exposing. We're just open. He knows. There's no point in trying to hide it, justify it, call it another thing, cover it up. And don't boast in it either, but just be real. Be real. You can't shock him because he knows it's there. Now, all this thing of guilt and the way man passes laws, politically correct, where certain things are acceptable. Sin is never acceptable. This is not what I'm saying. Don't go by man's law. Don't go by what politically correctness says. You can't, you know, you can't discriminate against a person for the way they are. This isn't about discrimination. We are bearing the brunt in our generation of the sins of our parents and grandparents. And it's about being honest, opening up before God. I am what I am. I can't come to you as somebody else. I can't come to you pretending that this isn't there or that it's dealt with. I can't wait until I'm good enough to come to you, because that will never happen. Here am I. You've saved me. You're exposing this. Only you can deal with it. All my desire is before you. You know who and what I am. And my sighing is not hidden from you. Here's that sighing. That groaning, that sighing. That unhappiness. You can't just tell people with depression, "Oh, cheer up, for goodness sake." God's doing, it's too deep. God is doing a deep, deep work, and we're never going to be happy till we're free of that, and that's part of the process. that sighing, that depression is telling us, well, in the natural something's wrong, but also if we're hearing from God that he's doing a deep work, he's working that redemption, he's working that deliverance. But first must come repentance. We must first see sin as he sees it. We must first hate sin as he hates it. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. You know, that vitality, that sparkle, that joie de vivre, it's gone. Heaviness, depression, sighing. Now here we go, verses 11 and 12. In that condition, in that state, our relationships are affected. All our relationships are affected. We're not on our own in this when God is dealing with sin. He says, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague. Have you ever experienced that? What is the matter with you? What is your problem? This is not the person I used to know. Or they don't understand what you're going through, so they say, well, look, you know, I don't know what the problem is, but either get it sorted, you know, don't come around anymore, you're depressing me, go to a doctor, go to a psychiatrist, for goodness sake, get it sorted. I've had enough of your whatever it would be, your moaning, your... They don't understand. My relatives stand afar off. You see, in their pride, in their ignorance, they're embarrassed. They don't understand. People can't always... Now, this isn't saying that it always happens, but when this happens, when our loved ones, our friends, our relatives, when people we know can't relate to what we're going through, this is why. Their pride, they're embarrassed, they can't understand, they're offended. God is working the cross in your life, and they can't relate to it. They're afraid of it. They don't know how to deal with it. And often in the body of Christ, do we make the same mistake? We judge outwardly, and we judge that person, we stand aloof, and we say, no thanks, this must be God's judgment, I'm not having anything to do with it. Can that happen in the body of Christ? Well, it does. Sadly, it does. It also works with the enemies. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction. There you go. And again, that happens in the body of Christ. Jealousy. Those who seek my hurt. Cain and Abel. Same family. Friends, don't think that some of our offence can't happen in the body of Christ. A lot of people are very offended, surprised, when a brother or sister offends them. They're supposed to be Christians. They're in the body of Christ. Why are they saying that to me? Why are they doing that to me? I'm going through this trial. It's before God. I've sought him all I know to do. And I'm waiting on him. And he or she comes along and points and says and does that. Friends, that sadly, that happens in the body of Christ. And at that point, we have a choice. Do we react? Oh, I'm not coming here anymore. I've had enough of this. Call themselves Christians. Or we can realise we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers. And this is an opportunity to pray for that person.
Amen.
That's where deliverance begins to work. Because all the time we are in this situation, stuff like this is going to happen. This is how we're perfected in the fruit of the Spirit. If love is not challenged to forgive, how do you know you love that person? How do you know you've really been touched with the love of Christ if the person who's crucifying you, if you don't forgive that person? Because that's what it is to be a Christian, is to fellowship in Christ's sufferings. Think on that. If the person who is crucifying you, if you don't forgive that person, how, you know, what is being a Christian? Going to church? Being religious? Reading your Bible? Or is that an opportunity now to truly experience what our Lord experienced at the cross? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. There begins deliverance within the body of Christ. There begins a deeper walk. Because we can all react, and we do, don't we? Every one of us. But praise God, if we've asked the Lord to make us sensitive, we realise it's not what that person did. Yeah, that has a whatever. But the real wrong was the fact that I reacted. That's the real sin. Because love covers a multitude of sins. So if we love that person, we don't react. We say, Father, forgive them. My loved ones and my friends stand alone. Oh, I've done that, haven't I? Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. The deceit, the deception, their motives are not right. They're planning ways of secretly, they're hoping that you're going to fall. They're looking, watching, waiting. Just try and lay a trap or a snare or... Yeah, just give it time, they'll fall. Yeah, I'm watching, my eyes are on you. I'm watching you, you're just... Yeah, I'm just waiting for you to fall. And they lie. And because it doesn't happen, they invent things that you did or supposed to have done or how you are. Just remember, I got a revelation of this, or like a reminder of it. We will never have full and true peace apart from the Lord, but in our relationships in the world, there will always be something coming from them against us, whatever we say or do. However blameless we are, they will always find something against us. Why? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and they will always misinterpret. A demon will put a thing in there, a thought in their minds. She said that because of that. Or he said that, he looked at you because he's thinking that about you. And they'll cry like babies. They don't know about the cross, so they'll react. Why did you look at me like that? Why did you say that? Your tone of voice was this. And that accusation, they will not receive Christ's love through you and I. Because the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. And here we go. What is our response? But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. There is the cross at work. We either react, or we, like a deaf and a dead person, do not hear. We don't react. And I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. There is our problem. This is what God is working with us. We don't try to explain it. We don't try to justify. Don't react. Don't respond. That is the trap they have laid for you. Right? They've laid a trap. They don't know they're doing it. The demons threw them. The minute we try to explain or justify, we fall into their trap. We do not respond. We do not try and find words to explain it. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth is no response. What's the answer? For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. Now, why don't we respond? How can we not do that? It's because we know with all our hearts, we believe, we're trusting God. He has allowed that. He's doing a deep, deep work of deliverance. So rather than trying to justify it, we say, okay, I don't understand everything, but I know God is in control. Whatever it is you have against me, whatever it is you think you've seen, I'm not going to try and justify it. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still Messiah. It doesn't alter the fact that God is still God. Whatever words God brings to you at the time. Praise God. But don't justify yourself in that situation, and don't attack them in that situation. All I'm saying is you can still glorify God. You can still take all the attention, put it on Jesus. Give him the glory. We're not trying to... man loves attention. Man loves to make a fuss about something that he thinks is wrong. But if we can turn the attention onto Jesus... Because he's the one. It's like saying, when the devil comes to accuse, it's like telling Satan, right, well, if you've got a problem, you take that up with Jesus. End the argument. Don't get involved in discussions and justifying. Just don't respond. God will give you the words to give him all the glory. For in you, Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. This is our faith. Jesus knows. Whatever man says, Jesus knows. God knows, he's in control, and I'm waiting on him. Now this implies that we have a prayer life. A lot of our problem, a lot of our chastening, a lot of what God is dealing with, he's trying to get our attention to the fact that we're not really, I don't want to say it in a religious way, but we're not having that prayer life, that time before him as we should. And I'm not talking about hours, I'm talking about the heart, the content of that communion. Draw away from the busyness, the distractions of this life. In a sense, we should be in communion with him the whole time, praying in the Spirit. You know, faith can do that while we're working. We're aware, we're consciously aware of his presence. But there needs to be time set aside each day to keep our eyes, our minds focused on what really matters, on him. And if we neglect that, we then begin to experience these things. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me. Lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. They're just waiting for that to happen, aren't they? They're just going to rejoice. The world loves it when a Christian, when a believer falls, and it becomes headline news, either in the place where you work or if it's an important person nationally. They just love all that, don't they? And they rejoice. See, I told you so. They're all hypocrites. They're all this. They're all that. God doesn't want that of us. This is why this work is hidden. This is why it's a deep work. It's hidden. We're not well known round about, because God is cleansing us from some things that otherwise the enemy would say, aha, told you so. And here it is. For I am ready to fall. I am ready to fall. In myself, in my own strength, I'm ready to fall. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. Here it is, that admission, that confession. I will be in anguish over my sin. And this is what God is bringing us to. Not complacent, not indifferent, but anguish. That godly sorrow that works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. When God brings us through this and we've truly repented, that godly sorrow, it's unto salvation, not to be repented of. We will not go back into that. By the time God finished with Israel, they'd stopped their idolatry under the old covenant. They didn't go back to their idols. Now, in the New Testament, obviously, their idolatry is something different. It's more spiritual now, isn't it? That inward lust for money, whatever. Idols have become a different thing. But as a nation, after the Babylonian captivity, and idolatry had been purged from the land. So God will do that work. We'll be in such a place of rest, of victory, of authority over sin, over the idols that God has cleansed and purged from us. But we have to go through that process. We have to go through this. He says, my enemies are vigorous and they're strong. Those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. They're vigorous, they're strong, they're much stronger than us. They are lively. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries. Because I follow what is good. Friends, because we desire to do right, because God has put within us his righteousness, the god of this world, the enemy, we are targets. Have you ever wondered why certain people, as it were, seem to be getting away with murder? Yes. They just get away with what all, they just couldn't care less, happy, blessed, and they get away with it all. And yet here's you and I, the slightest thing, we get our knuckles wrapped, we just, it's impossible to turn right or left. We're on a very straight, narrow walk and there's a hedge of thorns either side. Wherever we turn, we're going to get cut and scratched. And ever wondered? Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. That's the sign of our righteousness. That's a sign of God's work in our life. We're on the right path. We're following what is good. We're pursuing what is good. Stay with it, friends, because the reward will be there. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. So there's that prayer, there's that hope. God will always give a way of escape. He knows how far to take us with each of these things. Now remember, the trials you go through, there's no good looking at me and thinking, well, those are his trials, I'm not sure I could go through those, or why isn't he going through what I'm going through? He seems to have an easy time of it. Each person has a separate, has their own unique walk before God, and God knows precisely the trials, the tests, the temptations to allow, the chastening, the work he has for you. It's unique to you. As Kim says, it's tailor-made for you. He has a calling on your life. He's preparing you specifically for the calling and ministry that he has for you. You and I have to go through certain trials, and there may be similarities in all that we go through, but they're specific to you. And praise God that the Father, in his love, in his paternal concern, will see to it that you go through them. Praise God. It's something to rejoice in, not something to avoid at all costs. And it's something we have to settle as well on the word. You know, it's I heard something recently that's really encouraged me in settling God's word. Don't let the devil, because there's fear, because there's unbelief, and because, you know, we've been told, we've been encouraged about being honest about our faith, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking, right, I don't have to step out now until my faith is total or faith is pure. If we settle the word, even though we're battling fear and unbelief, be honest about that, God's word is still true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So don't think that, well, because I'm battling fear and I'm battling unbelief, I don't really believe the word. Don't let the devil deceive you with that. You've got the faith. Settle that God is allowing you to go through trials, or you're going through a trial. God has made you a specific promise. Settle on that word and then believe accordingly. Now, we might not be able to step out at that point, but we can pray, we can commune with God, we can spend that time before him on that basis. All I'm saying is, we too often get defeated. We allow the enemy to defeat us because we believe his lies. And his worst lie is that you haven't got enough faith. You're not really in faith for that. And so we get all depressed. Oh, yeah, when will I be in faith? I'll never get this. What's the point? I'll never believe. I'm not in faith. And we fall for the oldest trick in the book. Are you born again? Do you speak in tongues? You've got the faith. You've got the faith for that. God is perfecting your faith for what you're going through. It's not about your faith, it's about whether you believe God can deliver you. So don't look inward, have I got the faith or not? Now, that is important. We've got to be honest about our faith, but let God show you. Don't be inward looking about your faith. The question is, can God deliver you? And if you believe he can, there's the beginning of faith. And you then begin to realise, I've been listening to the devil's lies. He's been condemning me. He's been keeping me down. He's been telling me that it's God who hates me, but it isn't, it's him. And we begin to realise it's our pride that's the problem. Don't believe the enemy's lie. And praise God, in the brokenness, in the breaking, and God begins to open our hearts what they really are. It's very easy in the flesh to give over to those temptations. But so back to Psalm 130. So out of the depth I've cried, and it's God who's working that depth within us. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. There's our faith. God is hearing us. If we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. Praise God, he'll hear us. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? Praise God. God, you see, love doesn't keep record of the wrong done to it. Love covers a multitude of sins. If God should mark iniquities, who can stand? Now that, don't make it mean what it doesn't. God will not sweep sin under the carpet. He'll not pretend it doesn't exist. This is talking about somebody who's opened up, who's been honest, who's acknowledged. And here's the principle, that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. God is the only one who can forgive. When God forgives, deliverance works. This is sovereign grace. God is sovereign, and true grace, true mercy, only has its fulfillment when the person forgiving is sovereign. Do you understand that? If a pauper forgave, well, whatever. But when a king forgives, that's serious, isn't it? That really means something. So God is feared. Why? Because forgiveness is with him. You can't go to religion to forgive. You can't go to a priest. A lot of people do, don't they? They go to a priest, they go to a man, and think they've been absolved because some man declares, "Go in peace, my child," whatever. 10 Hail Marys and you've been absolved. That does not absolve your sin. Only God can forgive through your faith in the blood of Jesus. That's why he's to be feared, and that fear speaks of a respect, that honour. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. Doesn't always happen instantly, you don't always get the feelings that you need, but it's his word. As we wait on God, as we let him teach us his word, as we let him work that word in our hearts. My soul waits for the Lord. So there's that waiting, there's that watching, there's that expectancy. More than those who watch for the morning. And he repeats it. Yea, more than those who watch for the morning. What's that about? Well, it speaks of that darkness, that night. You've heard that expression, haven't you? The dark night of the soul, where everything just seems hopeless and we're waiting for daybreak, we're waiting for some kind of hope. You know, we've been up all night, whatever it is, and we just can't wait. Had a bad night, can't wait to get up and go to work the next day. This is much more than that. This is much, much more than that. This is a spiritual darkness, and we're waiting on God for that deliverance. He then says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, with him is abundant redemption. With the Lord there is mercy. This is what gives us hope. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's pure. He hates sin. But he is the one who has mercy. And here's the good news, praise God, with that abundant redemption, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Friends, do you seem to be going through a sin at the moment that you just, there's no way to overcome? Are you going through an attitude, a situation, there's no way to be free of it? Waiting on God for deliverance just doesn't seem to be coming. The good news, friends, is that God will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All our sins, friends. There is nothing that has escaped the atonement. Redemption applies to every part of us. Body, mind, soul and spirit. Praise God. There is nothing outside the atonement. God will redeem us from all our sin. Praise God, from all our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus.